Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen, and coming up on November 7th, voters are going to be asked whether or not to renew the millage for the Portage Lake District Library. Of course, you may be familiar if you've been paying attention about the last millage that affected the library. I saw that the people in Chassel Township voted to pull from the district. I might get an update from that as about that as well, because joining me in studio right now is the director of the library, Dylan Geschel. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
It's a good opportunity for us to talk a little bit about the bare bones of the millage. And also, since we have this opportunity, we get to talk about the library itself, different programs that are offered, and, you know, how you can become a member if you're not within the district as well, and just find ways to support the library. So this is a good opportunity to do that. Let's first start with just that part that I mentioned, just so, people are familiar now. It was last year that the Chassel Township voted to pull from the district. Where does that stand right now?
That's right. So last year, the Chassel Township Board had a ballot item asking the residents if they wanted to withdraw. They tried that in August and it failed. They came back in November with the same ballot question and were able to pass it, which means they do withdraw. So that withdrawal takes effect at the end of this year. We have arrived at a separate contractual agreement with the township to provide an additional year of service to their residents, but after that time they won't be served by the library at all, and the library will lose a substantial amount of our revenue due to their withdrawal.
Has the library taken any precautions or made any changes in anticipation of that happening?
Well, last year we did make some cutbacks in spending in anticipation of the possibility of the withdrawal, and part of doing that is we wanted to ensure that we would have the money we need to stay open 6 days a week following Chassel's withdrawal. Right now we're also coming towards the end of our first annual fund campaign in over 10 years. So between the cutbacks we made last year and the annual fund campaign, it's looking really likely that we'll be able to stay open 6 days a week, at least for the first year following the withdrawal.
So you're planning on being closed Sundays or Mondays?
Sundays. So our schedule wouldn't change. We'd remain closed Sundays, but not have to close an additional day per week. And with that said, there are a lot of cutbacks we have to make, but we're trying to prioritize keeping the library open 6 days a week. We're anticipating during the first year of that Chassel withdrawal, we're seeing about a 17% cut in our millage revenue. So that's a big hit for us. So we'll be cutting back on our book budget, our materials budget, our technology budget, which goes towards replacing machines as they age out, trying out new technology like tablets for our patrons. And we'll also have to make cuts to our building budget, which is difficult for us because, you know, we rely on that revenue to, do all maintenance for the building. So there's a number of big cuts that we'll have to make with the Chassel withdrawal.
What towns are encompassed in the Portage Lake District?
So right now, because Chassel is withdrawing, the district is made up of the City of Houghton and Portage Township.
Okay. They're currently paying a millage for, and they have been, this supports the library, and that millage is up for a renewal. I was wondering if you can give us the details about that millage.
Sure. So on November 7th, Tuesday, November 7th, the residents in the City of Houghton and Portage Township will vote on a renewal of our 1.96 millage levy. So that is a levy that's been in place for over 20 years. We're not asking for any more millage. We're simply renewing that levy that has been in place for over 20 years.
Okay. How long is this renewal for?
The renewal is for 7 years. So our current millage is a 7-year millage. It expires at the end of 2017, and so we're asking for a renewal of 7 years.
People often like to see the breakdown, like the average home, if it was worth $100,000, how much would I be paying?
Sure. So if you live in the City of Houghton, on average, you're paying about $97 a year as a homeowner. That comes out to be about $8 a month. The average cost per household in Portage Township is about $64 a year, or about $5 per month.
No. The library offers a lot of different things. We're going to be talking about them, but I guess before we get there, if the millage were not to succeed, what would happen to the library's funding and what would happen to your programs?
We rely almost exclusively on millage revenue for all operations at the library. Those revenues make up over 86%, about 86% of our revenue and expenditures. So without that funding, not only is there no other, you know, there's no other source of revenue that would make up for that. So ultimately, the library would be forced to close. So we could manage on reserves for a very short time, but ultimately there would be nothing left. And if a millage couldn't be set at the end of the day, then we'd have to close.
So no mistaking this as a make or break type of millage. That if it were to be defeated, the voters are essentially voting to close the library.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so I'm going to hope that doesn't happen. We're going to talk about some of the things that the library has to offer and why it's important, at least what I say it would be important, and I'm allowed to have opinions. It's an opinionated program. And keeping the library, you have a lot of books, and yes. We always jump right to some of the things that aren't books. Mm-hmm. But I'm a book lover, and I come from a family that people that enjoy books, they enjoy just the feeling of holding a book and then the enjoyment of reading. Also, researching. I, of course, have to do a lot of researching. Everything's available on the internet, people say now, but it's still true research comes from opening up the books, and you can't believe everything that's on the internet, but you have a much better chance of believing things
that's right.
that are bred in the library. So when it just comes to the scale and the number of books you have available, what does that look like?
We have about 52,000 physical items in our collection. So the vast majority of those items are physical books. We have about 46,000 print books. But in addition to that, our physical collection also has about 100 magazine subscriptions, over 1,300 music CDs for checkout, about 2,100 DVDs, and almost 3,000 audiobooks that patrons can take home with them. And to sort of speak to what you mentioned about all of this information being online and the importance of being able to find it in a book, there's a really great Neil Gaiman quote where he says, Google will bring you back a million answers, but a librarian will bring you back the right one. And I think that's especially true in the digital age. We can help people weed out and sift through that disinformation to find the research that they need.
Do you find a lot of people that they come in still using the library? I guess I'm referring, there was somebody that recently said that libraries are basically irrelevant now. And I totally disagree with that comment. I can't disagree with it more. See a lot of people still using the library?
Yeah, it's a very popular place. Last year alone, we had over 88,000 visits to the library. So those are not just our cardholders. Those are anyone who come into the library for a public program or just to make use of the facilities. One of our most popular programs that we host while tech is in session is a drop-in technology course every Saturday, which is for older adults. And the goal of those courses is to help bridge the digital divide between new technology and older adults. Those sort of programs are what the public relies on to become digitally literate, So when people talk about libraries being irrelevant, I think they're misunderstanding, the work that we're doing for and with the community. We're much more than a depository for books. So while our books might be the core of our collection, I think what makes our library a mainstay is really more focused on what we're doing for and with the community.
Yeah, you host a lot of community events, different speakers that come there, different presentations. The meeting room, your community meeting room is used quite regularly.
Yeah, we have hundreds of community programs every year for all ages. Some of our most popular are geared towards children and early literacy. So we're holding 2 to 3 different children's storytime events every week. Two of those are hosted by library staff, and then we have volunteers from the Houghton High School Key Club come in on the weekends sometimes to host those as well. But we also have a lot of different programming for teens and adults. We have teen book groups now at the library as well as an adult book group. In the last couple of years, we started hosting Nerf battles for our teen patrons, which we do after hours, and they always have a lot of fun with that. And for adults, we have anything from panel discussions on local issues to movie nights, partnerships with the city of Houghton that brings a farmer's market to the library, all kinds of cool stuff happening year round.
And in the Upper Peninsula, a lot of communities, the school library is the public library. Houghton is an exception to that. And I come from downstate, of course, where, you know, pretty much any major community had its own library. So when I moved up here, and I live in Calumet, and Calumet Public Library is the Calumet High School, or the school library there as well. So it's a bit, it's a shared purpose. And they have a fine library up there, but what do you think is the advantages of having sort of the standalone community library?
Yeah, I think the main advantage, you know, you're kind of speaking to yourself there, is that it's those libraries are not public. You know, they're great for students, especially students who are, you know, need help with schoolwork. But a public library is much more community focused and addresses the needs of not just children, but adults as well, and the literacy needs of adults, which a lot of people don't realize are just as important and needed.
Now, like in Calumet, that is their public library. You know, the library that's in the school is the public library, and I still notice a difference. When I have to go to that library, I go in, and it's I'm going to the school, and there seems to it's slanted towards, I think, what the students, you know, are, require, as opposed to a greater community. And they have a fine library, but I notice the difference when I go into the Portage Lake District Library that, you know, it's there's a lot more, I guess, materials and programs geared towards adults because of that, I believe.
Yeah, that's true. And part of that is, as a district library, you know, we're serving a much bigger population base than a school public library might. So we, you know, we have this really diverse group of community members that you know, our job is to make sure they have the materials that they're interested in, whether that be, you know, physical books or a tablet to check out to work from home. So I think that really comes with just the fact that we're serving a really diverse population.
Beyond the books, DVDs, and CDs that you mentioned, what sort of multimedia, what do you offer in the multimedia realm?
So we do have a lot of different digital resources that we make available to our patrons and our cardholders, the most popular of which is our Overdrive collection, which is a collection of ebooks and audiobooks. So that collection right now has almost 10,000 items available for download. Last year, we started adding streaming video to that collection. So there's about 250 popular movies, TV series, and documentaries that you can check out with your library card and watch from anywhere with an internet connection or using a smartphone that has a data plan. We also have popular collections for digital magazines. So that's called RB Digital, and it has over 200 magazines that are available for download. And what's really unique about that collection is those magazines are yours to own once you check them out. So there's no due date, there's no checkout limit. You download the magazines and you get to keep them. And in terms of research databases, that's another popular e-resource we make available. The most popular one is called the Foundation Center Directory. So this is a collection of grants and grant makers, the largest collection in the U.S., that we make available on our public computers in the library. So for people who work with nonprofits, it's especially helpful to come in and be able to sit down and try and find grants that might be a good fit for their group.
Well, what if you're not all that up to speed on the latest technology and you have all those things available online and through the different resources? How do you learn how to use any of that?
We host monthly training courses for our patrons. So each month we're focusing on a different e-resource. So this month, for example, we were training our patrons on using Ancestry, which is our, we have a subscription to Ancestry, which is a genealogical resource that our patrons use. We've done Overdrive for ebooks. We've done the digital magazine training. Next month, we'll be training patrons on using the Foundation Center Directory. And if you can't make those sessions, you can also stop in the library at any time and just ask one of us for help, and a librarian will be able to show you how to navigate these different e-resources.
You provided me a copy of your newsletter. And by the way, I got to say, this is sharply produced. You guys produce this yourselves?
We do, yeah. I designed that myself, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's very good.
Thank you.
A lot of good information in here. What kind of programs do you have coming up?
So we've got our computer courses going throughout all of November. So those are our drop-in courses for older adults. On November 2nd, next week, we'll be hosting a couple different informational sessions on the millage. So if you want to get more info on that, that's a great program for you to attend. We've got a math club for students that's meeting on November 8th. Our young adult book group is meeting twice in November, so they'll get together at 6:30 on November 13th and the 27th. And we're also hosting a Friends of the Library book sale on November 17th and 18th. Our big event that's coming up in November is going to be a launch party for a new early literacy program we have called 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten. This is a program that encourages caregivers and parents to read 1,000 books with their children before they reach the age to attend kindergarten. I know that sounds like a lot, but if you're, you know, if you're reading a book a day, that might only take a few years. If you're reading a few books a day, you could do it in under 1 year. So, you know, I mentioned earlier we're hosting these weekly story times, and those are really geared towards toddlers. So we're excited to have a new program that will be able to cater to infants as well. And that's probably the big program we're doing in November.
Well, you have a great kids section for, you know, the youth book section that you have over there. I mean, not only do you have a big collection, it also just looks nice. It looks like it's a fun place to go for kids.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, it's like a play center for them. You know, we have many thousands of books in that area for them to read, but we've also got fun and educational games they can play with, tablets that are not just toys, but built to be learning tools that they can also use while they're in the library.
Earlier, you mentioned the Friends of the Library. Who are they?
The Friends of the Library are a nonprofit group that are not associated directly with the library. They're their own group, and they advocate for the library, and they also help raise money for our collection and for different events.
Are they the primary arm of that fundraising that you talked about when it goes in addition to your millage?
Actually, the library is hosting the annual fund campaign on their own. But the Friends of the Library throughout the year host different programs and events that are also fundraisers for the library.
Well, tell me about the annual fundraising campaign for the library then.
Sure. So we launched that in April, and the goal of that program is to raise $40,000 by the end of the year to ensure that we can keep the library open a full 6 days per week, because after the Chassa withdrawal, we're looking at having to close an additional day per week. So right now we're about 68% to our year-end goal. So we're still looking for donations for that campaign. Our newsletter that will go out this week will have another call for another request for donations in it.
Okay. You know, the library does so much in conjunction with other organizations too in the community, besides, you know, the programs that you host or when they have presentations there. But you've, you know, served as a drop-off for, you know, for books and for pajamas for, you know, for the Youth Advisory Council, different groups and stuff. You know, so the library is also very active in giving back too.
Yeah, this is something that I really try and highlight when I'm talking to people about the library. But if you're not a regular visitor to our library, you might not realize how involved we are. You'd be hard pressed to find an area nonprofit that doesn't benefit in some way from library resources or in partnership with the library. So that could mean that, you know, a nonprofit board that needs a community meeting space. It could mean a nonprofit that needs help during a can drive. You know, we do multiple can drives throughout the year to raise money for some of our food centers. Panel discussions throughout the year that might focus on, you know, genealogical research, local issues, climate change, just about anything you can think of, mental health awareness.
Yeah, and you've had things like the food for fines. So people can, once a year, you allow people to be able to pay off a certain amount of library fines. I think it was $10 using food, which has a double effect of both people can pay their fines and continue to check out items, and also they help the, you know, local area food pantries.
Yeah, that's right. So and just trying to highlight through all of that information that, you know, what defines our library, I think, as an incredible resource to our community is what we're doing with the community, not just, you know, the material we make available to them. So, you know, I guess another way I could highlight that work that we're doing is this is the second year in a row where we partnered with the City of Houghton to host the Downtown Houghton Farmers Market. And so to sort of speak to some of the non-traditional resources we make available or the non-traditional programs we do, one of our summer reading program prizes this year tied in with the Farmers Market. And what we were doing is making vouchers available for our summer reading program participants that they could then spend at the market. So the library, for many years, has prioritized health literacy programming, and this is exciting for us because now we have a way to actually put produce in the hands of our patrons. And not only that, but we're using, you know, this program's made available through a grant we got with the Portage Health Foundation, so we're finding ways to actually take funds from community foundations and reinfuse them into our economy. So this year we distributed about 430 market buck certificates, which ended up coming to about $2,200 that was awarded to our summer reading program participants so that they could buy produce, but also $2,200 that's then put back in the pockets of area farmers. So, you know, I could go on in this way, but like I said, it's all about engagement for us, community engagement, much more important than some of these, than just talking about, you know, the core collection of books that we have.
Which are important as well.
Right.
All right, we're going to recap the millage coming up here in just a moment, but Dylan, since I've kind of got you here, got you captive, how has being a manager of a library, director of a library, how has libraries changed in just their perception and use, over the years? And I think I recall it was you that had something on Facebook about, you know, the old librarian shushing people and
sure.
the old thing of, the library is, a very sacred place to go to. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, you'll still see commercials on TV, right, where it'll be like a candy bar commercial, and for some reason there's a librarian shushing someone. So that is a stereotype that haunts our profession. We are not shushing residents. Libraries are loud places because learning is loud. You know, we try and designate some areas to be more quiet because people do have, their research needs as well. But especially for this young group, children and toddlers, learning is loud for them, and we want to be able to foster that. So that's certainly one way I would say libraries have changed. But some of these other stereotypes have kind of clung to the profession since their inception, for reasons I don't really understand. Libraries have been community centers. Public libraries in the United States have been community centers since their inception. I think we do more of that work now. And part of that, is because with this advent of digital technology that puts so much information at people's fingertips, libraries sort of had to reinvent themselves. That's something we're really good at. You look at a lot of these big name bookstores, they weren't so good at that. They ended up closing because of digital technology coming into fruition. Libraries have been great at adapting, and what we did when digital technology came out was start making that material available to our patrons, and it shows us that it's something they're still interested in getting from their library.
I still remember the first time I had been into a library after not being in one for a long period of time, and walking in and not being able to find the card catalog. Because I was on the card kettle looking for the drawers and looking for the index cards. And everything was, on computer at that time, too. But you still have the Dewey Decimal System, right? That hasn't gone away, has it?
That's right. We're still using the Dewey Decimal System. In that way, that's sort of a traditional thing we're holding on to. A lot of libraries you might find are scrapping that.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of libraries today now are doing away with these sort of sacred call number systems in favor of things that they think are more patron-friendly. So an example might be a material that's just sorted by keyword instead of numbers. That's not something we're looking at doing. That would be a huge revamp. But yeah, we're still using Dewey.
Well, it's nice to know some traditions still are in effect. Now, in order to keep those traditions going on, and in a sense, a very real sense, keeping the library going, voters will decide whether or not to renew the millage. That's coming up on November 7th, the vote is. And Dylan is wondering if, for one more time, you can run down the logistics of that millage.
Sure. So we are asking for a renewal of our current millage levy, which is 1.9606 mils. That's on Tuesday, November 7th. And residents of the city of Houghton in Portage Township can vote on that millage levy. And I also just want to reemphasize that we're just looking for a renewal, so not a penny more. And when you look at the way our millage has actually been rolled back over the years, it's actually the least amount of millage we've levied in decades.
Now, who's eligible to vote for this? Who?
Residents that live in the city of Houghton and Portage Township are eligible to vote.
Okay. And if you live in that area and you're a resident, you're automatically a member of the library, correct?
You have to come in and sign up for a card,
okay.
But yep,
eligible
then. You're eligible, yeah.
What if you're not in that area?
So if you live outside of our district, we do make membership available for these people with non-resident rates. So Right now, those rates are for an individual, it's $85 a year, which is based on the average of what our district residents pay through the millage every year. For a family, it is $130 a year, and that would get you as many library cards as you need for every member of your family. Now, those rates will change in the future. Once Chassel is officially withdrawn from the district, the averages will change between the city of Houghton and Portage. So we'll have to reevaluate that, and we're afraid that those non-resident rates will probably have to go up.
Okay. If people want to know more information about the library, besides stopping in, which might be the best way, but where can they find it?
Yeah, you can stop in to talk to me or any of our staff. You can also access our website that has information on the millage. That's at pldl.org/millage.
All right. Dylan, thanks so much.
Thanks, Rick.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.